Okay. Just stop. That's it.
Okay, so thank you very much, and good to be with you this afternoon. It's always a pleasure to take the trip here. I don't really have a title, so we'll figure it out by the time we finish. But a lot of the things that I would want to touch on, we've already touched on this morning. So it's not going to be too new to you. I would mention or say something about the coronavirus, which is what we started with. I would say something about law and lawlessness, which is something we have also touched on. So, brethren, the times that we live in certainly very unsettling. And we do recognize that it's a very difficult time. But there is hope. So we have to be mindful not to look at how empty the cup is, but how much water is actually in the cup. So let's be mindful of what Christ told us, because he did not promise that times are going to be good, did he? He did not make that promise. So we shouldn't expect the times to be good. In fact, in Matthew chapter 24, it seems that Christ was scaring us. It appears that he was saying things that would be so scary. Because he said, and you would hear, verse 6, and you will hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that you are not troubled, for all these things must come to pass. But the end is not yet, for nation will rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom, and there will be famines, pestilences, and earthquakes in various places. All these are the beginning of sorrows. So anytime you hear something that is scary, note that it's probably the good of the bad times. Because what follows is going to be scarier. Because it says it's the beginning of sorrows, beginning of troubled times. So people are very worried about coronavirus. And we should be worried about it in the natural sense. But in the spiritual prophetic sense, if you're worried about coronavirus that right now we have 68 in Canada, then what are you going to do about something that we have 3 million in Canada, that we have 4 million in Canada, that it's all over the place? What are you going to do? So we are not even at the point of being scared. Maybe people are scared because of what they hear elsewhere, but not where you are. But there's going to be other things that will be so close to you that you feel like fainting. But Christ said something in John 14. And he said, let not your heart be troubled. Let not your heart be troubled. Christ is giving assurance here. And he begins by saying, be okay. Don't be troubled. He goes on to say other things, but that's not what my focus is. I just want you to hear him beginning to speak to you and say, do not let your heart be troubled. Because there are things that would make your heart feel like fainting. And he said, my peace I leave with you. My peace I leave with you. Not as the world give you. United Nations cannot give you that kind of peace. Because they don't know it. The Canadian democracy cannot give you that peace. Because they don't know it. Big Brother America cannot procure that peace for us little Canadians. The North Atlantic Treaty, NATO cannot do it. The peace that Christ leaves with us, it's from him. And he clearly delineates it and says, it's not us the world give you. So if we hear anybody anywhere else trying to say there's going to be peace, we know that's not what Christ promised. Because God puts in us those who have responded to his call. He puts in us himself by way of his spirit. And that spirit produces in you, and I know this congregation, you've gone through it, produces in you that fruit of peace. And when we pray and say, the God of peace, that same peace is the peace that he's planted in you. Himself, part of his nature, his character, is what he produces in you. So you are peaceful in the midst of chaos. In the midst of boom. But you feel peaceful. And somebody will come and tell you, bro, why are you so calm when everybody feels the heat of what is going on? What's the secret? And you would be able to tell that Christ left you his peace. Coronavirus will spread because it is spreading. And we haven't figured out how to stop it. So it's going to spread. I don't listen to the news, so I don't know what is being said in the news. I haven't heard anything in the news, CNN, ABC, UBC, or KBC, YBC, even our own CBC. I haven't heard anything for a long time. So I don't know what he's saying. I do listen to people who analyze the news. But I don't have time now these days for the news. I don't. But what I'm saying, by saying that, is that they can scare me. Because I'm not even listening to them. But I know, as a disease, it will spread. It will spread. Because maybe what we have been told or what we have heard is not even the truth. So let's take it, whatever it is, but the hope that we have to have, and look at how much water we have in the glass, is this. Open to Exodus 15. Exodus, the second book of Moses, chapter 15. And look at verse 26. And it reads, therefore, he made a statute and an ordinance for them.
You're in the wrong place.
Maybe in the wrong place. You're right. Let me. Exodus 15, 26. Okay, let's read. He tested them and said, if you diligently heed the voice of Yahweh, your God, and do what is right in his sight, give ear to his commandments, and keep all his statutes, I will put none of the diseases on you which I have brought on the Egyptians, for I am Yahweh who heals you. Don't take it that because you've been sick before, there's no promise of not bringing diseases upon you. Because it's prefaced by the fact that if we will diligently hearken to the commandments of our God, then as a result, one thing is going to happen by way of in a dual manner, you're receiving something, but you're receiving it, first of all, by the providence of God, that he is the one protecting you because you obey him, because you listen to him, because you diligently follow him. He has his covering over you to protect you providentially because you have a relationship with him. And the second part of it is that the very word that you are obeying is also becoming a shield around you. So when you told your child, don't touch the fire, the very fact that you're not touching the fire, you're not getting burned. Your obedience is protecting you. But even if you were going close to the fire, God providentially can protect you also from the fire. So what I'm saying is, we need to understand that we have a paradigm that is different from the world's paradigm. And we've talked about lawlessness and keeping God's commandments as part of the conversation we had earlier. And I had this conversation with some people in my social media group from last night to this morning. And I was really enjoying it, because when I have somebody, quote-unquote, ordinary person, on a platform of close to probably 100 people or whatever, and somebody puts a religious material there that says, and he said, the Son of Man is the Lord of the Sabbath. Luke 6. So this lady asked two gentlemen and said, could you give me an exposition of this? And I was not one of those guys that were invited to give the exposition. And I was here yesterday. One of these guys is a Catholic priest. It's my classmate. This is Ghana. And one of the gentlemen, another classmate, he's a pastor of a church. So the two guys invited to give their exposition. And when I was leaving work yesterday, I had read it and I was trying to get home to put in my response, because I had read what both of them have written. And that is not people who lead people should be writing. But that is what they wrote. What can you expect from a Catholic priest? Or what can you expect from a Protestant priest, pastor? So they gave their responses. And the Catholic priest said three things. Number one, number two, number three. Number one, number two, I can't disagree with anything. Number three, then he says, the change of the Sabbath is now from Saturday to Sunday. Wait. I have actually heard somebody that says that if anybody can show anywhere in the Bible where there was a change in the Bible, they can get $1,000. So I really wanted this guy to show me so I can probably go and get $1,000. Just kidding. So I sent my comment and I picked that part. And I said, your number one, number two, I agree with you, no question. Your number three is where the problem is. Could you show me from the pages of the Bible where that change occurred, and what is the witness? And as a Catholic priest, I even expanded it for him. I said, even including the Apocrypha. Make you big for you. You still can't get it. So that's what I did. And the pastor, he said a lot of also good things, gave the history of the Sabbath and everything, and then got to the very bottom. And he said, so If anybody wants to keep the fourth commandment out of the ten as a way to please God, then he has to keep all the other commandments and the bylaws, about 600 of them. That is his statement. So I picked that statement and I asked him, so do you mean by your logic that it's the same as me also saying, okay, so if anybody wants to keep the seventh commandment of the ten commandments as a way of pleasing God, then he would have to keep all the other commandments? And I say, by the way, the seventh is no adultery. And I repeated another question for him using honor your parents. And I left it there and I went to sleep. They will rise up first and they will respond. And then when I wake up, I'll go and look at it. I went to sleep. And then when I woke up, they did not respond. No, they did. They responded, but did not respond to my questions. They started talking. You sounded like an authority. Sounded like an authority. And our sister was just looking for exhortation. So if you have something, just put forward what you have and not to quote unquote attack them. And somebody said, instead of punching holes in what they said, in fact, I had not been aware that somebody asked them to do it. What I told you, I knew after the fact. So I thought that the two of them had just made some comments about the Sabbath or the law of God. So I went back to read everything and then I saw where the lady was asking them to give this exposition. So knowing that at least I was out of context, I apologized. I said, I'm sorry that I was out of context. I didn't know that you were responding to this particular lady. But I want to point out, I am no authority. I have no Bible college, anything to my name, nothing, zero. So it's true, I'm no authority. But I make the word of God speak authoritatively. Because God is the authority. And that I don't apologize for it. Then the priest came back. Then he also apologized. And he used a philosopher. He quoted a philosopher that says, men speak nonsense when language goes on vacation. I don't know anything about that, but that's what he quoted. He said that to say that he didn't use the right language by saying that the change of the Sabbath. But then he gave 4 points about the Sabbath. This is new. And then the last is, in the course of time, the Sabbath changed. So now nobody changed it. It changed. So it changed by itself. You see? And I had gone past trying to respond now directly to him, so I didn't respond to it. And so I told the lady and I said, so I'm going to give my own submission. So I sat down and responded in two parts to the lady. And then the pastor came back. He said, okay, now you have also written. By the way, can I ask you a question? Do you keep the Sabbath as originally intended? So, I had already answered this question to so many people on the platform. So I just went back and copied it and bam, gave it to him. I'm saying this to say, look at the extent of lawlessness. And I have one man on the same platform talking about coronavirus and said, why does the United Nations not tell the Chinese to stop eating these weird animals and everything that they are eating? And if you have seen any things that Chinese people eat, not what you have seen here, but in China, man, it makes your heart go like you don't want to eat for the next few weeks. Wow. Can I tell you one? If you haven't seen it, they have a sauce. Whatever is made up in the sauce, I don't know. And they take live mice, the babies, dip it in the sauce straight into his mouth. Yeah. What? This is terrible. But that's not my beef. But this man, sensible, is telling the United Nations to tell the Chinese to stop eating these kinds of things. So when I saw it, I wrote, I can't tolerate things that should not be said. So I wrote them and said, my brother, are you saying that we should start worshiping the United Nations? Are you saying that the United Nations should be determining what people eat? Don't you know that the law about what should be eaten already exists? And that is not only about the Chinese, but also you Ghanaians that are here. Some of you eat cat, some of you eat pork, some of you eat all kinds of funny things. All of us need to go back to the Creator and what the Creator told us to eat, that we should eat. And I said, read it in the scriptures, Leviticus 11 and Deuteronomy 14. You would find the answers of what we should put in our mouth. So you have bypassed God, and now you want United Nations to be our God. What does United Nations know about what should be eaten and what should not be eaten? So lawlessness, we pay for lawlessness. And not to focus on a particular group of people's lawlessness, but lawlessness abounds everywhere. So people have contracted coronavirus. And if we know that you have been exposed to coronavirus and you arrive in the country, what do? We ask you to voluntarily quarantine yourself for the period of incubation so that if nothing happens, then at least you go back home. This is here. The quarantine. It's here. God provides. provided for quarantine before there was a medical practice according to the Hippocratic Oath. But we say we wouldn't follow God, because we do not think that we want an authority over our lives. We want to be our own authority, determining what is good and what is bad for us. Leviticus 13, or let's read Numbers 5. Leviticus 13 is a long one, but Leviticus 13 is all about the quarantine process. But let's read Numbers 5. Numbers chapter 5. Numbers 5, I read 1 to 3. Yes, 1 to 3. And the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, command the children of Israel that they put out of the camp every leper, everyone who has a discharge, and whoever becomes defiled by a corpse. She shall put out both male and female. You shall put them outside the camp, that they may not defile their camps in the midst of which I dwell. And the children of Israel did so, and put them outside the camp, as Yahweh spoke to Moses. So the children of Israel did. This did not come from Moses' thinking. This came directly from our Creator, that He wants people who are infested to be outside of the camp, so that you don't spread it to everyone. If only we will go back to the commandments, statutes, and judgments of God, we will find a lot of peace. Without that, the world will not know any peace. We only, if we stick to the word and the commands of God, that we can find peace. There are so many stipulations about health in this book, sanitation in this book. Because the God that produced that document is looking at a people from cradle to grave. From the beginning to the end, their well-being and their welfare was His concern. He wasn't thinking about, quote-unquote, their spiritual life and saying, okay, go to church, and when they go to church, then He's concerned, and when they go home, then He doesn't care, He leaves that to them to do whatever they want to do. No, He regulates every facet of our existence. And He wants us, or calls us, to put a difference between what is holy and what is unholy. To put a difference between what is clean and what is unclean. I've made a reference to Galatians 5:22 when I talk about the peace and the other fruit of the Spirit. But Galatians 5:19, you have the works of the flesh, including uncleanness. Brethren, please, when we read the what we call the New Testament, keep in mind that they were explaining the what we call the Old Testament. So when they're talking about uncleanness, don't let us get into spiritualizing it. They're talking about uncleanness as it exists in the Old Testament. So when Paul is talking about uncleanness, he wants us to be clean. We need not defile ourselves. Let's be clean. Let's wash our hands when we have to wash our hands. Let's cleanse our body when we have to cleanse our body. God is not only concerned about the spirit, He's concerned about your body. Otherwise, why would He say that the one who commits fornication commits sin against his own body? Why is He concerned about your physical body? And we know that if you play with it, you get it. And I can tell you, because I'm not ashamed of it, because it no longer sticks to me, and my wife is here. When I was a young man, I knew not anything called girlfriend, living and shacking with people for any, I didn't know that. But I met one lady once. One night, I had sex with that lady. I got syphilis. Oh, wow. One time. And I didn't know until I got to this country. Over 10 years. God is our protector. God is our protector. Stayed with syphilis, nothing showed anywhere, anytime in my body that I was sick. Until Canadian government says, go and do medicals in order to enter Canada. And then they found out I had syphilis. And they said, you still need to treat it even though you can't infect anybody. And I go into treatment. What I'm saying is this. When you sin, in some ways, you sin against your own body. You can't spiritualize that. And so, when Paul talks about uncleanness, let's open to 2 Corinthians 7. The second letter of Paul to the Corinthians, chapter 7. And I'll just read the first verse. Therefore, having these promises, beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. We have to clear all unfilthiness of the flesh and the spirit. So you can't just spiritualize it away. So we gotta go back into the book and see things that are physical, that causes us to be unclean, that we need to cleanse ourselves. including what we eat, including what we touch. Somebody said, "Oh, you still do all these things? You still don't have that God? He's gone? He's dead? It's quiet? He's still there. So why does he tell people, if you touch dead body, you gotta go and wash your hands? Touch dead body, go and wash your hands. Don't we do that now by modern medical practice? Touch dead body and go and eat? Even in some cases, you will not even be allowed to touch the dead body. The medical people say, because of what killed this person, we don't even want you to open the casket. It has to be closed and straight into the grave. God foresaw this and said, you need to clean yourself, because when you touch it, you're unclean. That is how it sends message to you, that you have become a different state, and for you to change from that state to another state, you have a process to go through. If God doesn't put you in that state, you will think that I touched it, and okay, when I get time, I'll wash my hands. And you never got to wash your hands, and you start spreading it. Nobody knows. But the moment you touch it, we know. Now you're unclean. Clean. You can come here. Until there's evidence that you have washed your hand. The food we eat . The places we go. Could make us unclean. The people we associate with could make us unclean. So we need to understand the mindset of our God. And then when we come before Him, because He links all these things with holiness. He links all these things with holiness. And then He tells you, be you holy because I am holy. Your daddy is holy. My children, be holy so that we could belong to the same stock. But some people would say, that's okay. So they would go in there, eat whatever they want to eat, defile themselves, not being holy, and they are audacious enough to go before God and raise up hands thinking that they are holy. Holiness is not on our terms. It is according to what God determines to be holy. Because He is the sanctifier, not us. We just need to stay in the course that He provides. Otherwise, it's going to be sad. Very, very sad. At the end of explaining the prophecy, John writes, he that is holy, continue to be holy. He that is unholy, continue to be unholy. That's over. And we know that nothing that defiles get into the kingdom. Because behind the kingdom, behind the city, is everything that defiles. That is where you take everything that defiles. That is where you take everything that is unclean. But inside the city, you cannot have anything that defiles. So as a people, when we meet even like this, we have to be mindful that we are bringing holiness into our gathering, because the Spirit of God inhabits the temple of God, which temple we are. Because when we read a while ago, what did he say? Among you that I dwell. The tabernacle of God would be with men, but be careful that the tabernacle is already in you. Because God is already tabernacled with us. But when we see the city descending, consummated in physical space, yes, the tabernacle of God would be with man. But if you're waiting for that, not mindful of God inhabiting in the temple, tabernacle with his people, then you've missed a great deal. Because you're not taking up the care of the temple because you think there's nobody there. You're not being mindful of where you go because you think there's nobody there. You're not mindful of what you put in because you think there's nobody there. You think it's vacant, but it's occupied. It should be occupied. God with you. God with us. Brethren, I won't bore you. When we want to situate ourselves in the understanding of God's laws and commandments and statutes, it's big, it's broad, but it's beautiful. And it speaks to the mind of God and the plan that he has for us to live a different way of life, different from how the world can figure out. The world has learned some things from the way of God, even though they won't give him the credit for it. But for those of us who have come to the ultimate sacrifice in Christ, we need to understand that our Savior has made a way for us to live the God way. We are not going to live in fear of some disease that is out there. We would follow what our God wants us to do to protect ourselves by way of public health, personal health, hygiene. We will do that. I'm not asking anybody to be negligent of those things, because God is mindful of those things. But to live in fear is not understanding what is up there and what we're going to be up against. Let us put our hope in the one that says, do not let your hearts be troubled. Our God, He is able. Thank you, brethren.